Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome in, everyone, and happy Friday here on Gramlich and McLean. It is the most wonderful time of year, not only because it's Christmas season, Eric McLean, but because it's that time of year where football and basketball are starting to overlap, maybe even more so this year because of crazy COVID schedules. But it's one of my favorite times of the year, Mac, and I'm sure it is for you, my friend.
It absolutely is, Kelly. You've got your Big Ten ACC Challenge, one of my most favorite things to look at. This is kind of my order when it comes to basketball. It's that, the Big Ten ACC Challenge, the NBA playoffs, and then, of course, the tournament that rules them all, the NCAA tournament. But we're here. We've got football. We've got basketball. Before we get rolling, I just want to ask you about this Big Ten Challenge with the ACC. Wasn't a great start, but it finished off yesterday pretty well. The ACC only won one game on Tuesday, but let's stick with Tuesday and start there. What did you see from some of those games? You got North Carolina, fight back, and then Iowa kind of takes care of business. Duke, just looked really bad against Illinois. Virginia Tech gets blown out. I mean, the Big Ten, they look really, really good and really deep, but the ACC, I mean, I think when you talk about talent, the ACC's got a lot of talent. They just have some growing up to do.
They do. And that's kind of been the theme with the ACC as of late, because a few programs have really dived into the one and done, where no one in the Big Ten has truly gone one and done like Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, those schools. But the Big Ten's very good. They're probably the best league in the country. We'll see. The Big 12 has some really good teams too, with Baylor. Baylor is just excellent. And Kansas is good. I will say this, the women normally do an ACC Big Ten Challenge, but this year, because the women needed to start ACC play a week early so that the women's ACC tournament could be a week before the men's, they skipped it this year and they're starting ACC play this week. So that's the main reason why you don't have that. But on the men's side, look, the first day I was like, oh no, Eric McLean, this is rough. Mainly because,
this podcast is going to be a long podcast.
Well, obviously I was sitting there like, well, the women will carry it again. That's what I was really thinking.
Exactly. That's right. Come on.
But, you look at the main programs, the big brands. And so you can have that reputation with your league. If your big brands aren't playing really well, people are thinking, okay, what's the deal? We've seen that somewhat in football with Florida State and Virginia Tech and schools like that. So with North Carolina and Duke on the first day, I'm less worried about North Carolina. I am worried about Duke. I am flat out worried, Mac. I don't think this team is very good. I don't think they have an offensive identity. They don't have an alpha dog. They don't have a leader. They don't have a go-to scorer. They really can't shoot it. And I'm not 100% sure that they're a tournament team at this point. And I know that's an overreaction,
which is crazy to say, right?
Yeah, it's only four games. But also Illinois is very, very, very good. Like Illinois is fun.
Like Final Four good, yes. Probably.
Illinois is really good. So we'll take that with a grain of salt. But there's a lot of freshmen who don't exactly know how to play in Duke's system yet. Matthew Hurt is a good player. I don't think he's an alpha. So those are my concerns with Duke. With North Carolina, I think because they have a better mix of young and old, they are going to figure it out. My big question was their guard play. Like, will the guard play come along? Because we know the front court is there with Garrison Brooks and Baycott. Iowa is also very, very, very good. Like, Iowa could make a Final Four.
They are so fun to watch.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like that's the type of team that, you and I are. We're running in transition. We're flicking threes. We've got a dominant guy down low. We can get it to if we need to.
Are you the dominant guy down low? You're shooting, right?
I'm shooting transition threes. You're the dominant one.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, that's hard to stop, and especially when you see North Carolina. They've got some size, but not size like that. I mean, they don't have a 7-foot guy, 280 pounds, like our boy Graza there that can, do the thing. 14 rebounds, 16 points. It's hard to stop. Again, Iowa was unbelievably hot. They're on their home court. They're feeling really good. Shooting 43% from three-pointer. That's tough to match up with any day. But, North Carolina showed some fight. And I thought that they were just going to lay down after, Iowa got up nearly 20, it seemed like. But they were right there. And then again, the threes just started raining back down, and they took off with it. Let's move to Wednesday, because Wednesday, a much better day for the ACC. Our Clemson Tigers looked really, really good. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people this year. Florida State looked good, finished strong. Georgia Tech, Pitt, I mean, Pitt came roaring back and got a huge dub, a game-winning dunk. How about our boy Champagne just going for 20 and 20 in a game-winning dunk? What game from that, I guess, from those four or five games impressed you the most, and what team?
I would have to say, and I hate that this is happening, Mac, because yes, Mac and I are both Clemson grads and we're talking Clemson football all the time, but the Clemson men are really good. Like, they're really good.
Clemson's a basketball school, y'all. It's just is what it is.
And the women are undefeated as of now, too. Now, they haven't played, you know, someone like a Maryland or Mississippi State or whatever, Purdue. But the Clemson men are good, and people are starting to catch on to that. The depth for Clemson is what stands out. And you can see the stark contrast between Clemson, between Florida State, and a team like Duke, where Clemson and Florida State is playing grown men. These are 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds. I think John Bayer for Clemson is legit 37. So these guys have been playing college basketball for a long time. They're experienced. And that's what we saw with Clemson's Sweet 16 team a couple years ago. You had Shelton Mitchell, Marquise Reed, Gabe DeVoe, experienced college basketball players. And Amir Sims was on that team too. The difference for me with Clemson, Amir Sims is still Clemson's best player. I think he's going to be all ACC. But it's the backcourt of Alamir Dawes and Nick Honor, who can both handle the ball. So if one gets in foul trouble, you're going to be fine. If Maryland, which they did apply some pressure, and Clemson was still fine with the ball. And then they both can shoot the three. So it's really tough to guard. Clemson rarely has a lineup on the floor without at least one of them. And so them combined, I think they're a difference maker for Clemson. And then with Florida State, I was impressed with Florida State. I don't think Indiana is that good, but Florida State pulled out a win. MJ Walker was really the steady Eddie for FSU, but Scotty Barnes made a heck of a play in overtime to win the game. The Euro step using his size. I don't know how he got that shot off. Scotty Barnes is fun, Max. 6'8" point guard, can handle the rock. I think FSU
reminds me of myself, a younger EMAC, to be honest.
Right. He basically, if I had to find a player comp, it would be Eric McLean in Fike.
That's right.
With the Euro step, the high socks.
That's right. What about the depth with Florida State? Because I'm looking at the, you know, minutes played here. Only one guy coming off the bench with more than 20 minutes. Normally that's their big strong suit, is they have a heck of a bench that can come in, make a difference, and play. Do you think that's going to be a concern? Do you think it's just the fact that they've only played two games up to this point and they're just trying to figure out their team? What do you think with that?
They don't have the depth of years past. I would agree. Florida State has always been that team that their sixth man is averaging 10, 12, 14 points per game. Sometimes their sixth man is their leading scorer, which is ridiculous. That's what Leonard Hamilton does. But MJ Walker paired with Scotty Barnes, I think those two guys are, it's one of the best backcourts in the ACC. So yeah, I am a little concerned because they don't have their normal depth, but I think Leonard Hamilton can adjust and he's going to be fine playing a little bit of a different style because they're not going to go out there and play 8, 9, 10 people consistently. But, and I've heard Seth Greenberg and others say this with Leonard Hamilton, and I think it's so true. It says, the saying is, culture doesn't graduate. That is so true. And it really can be true in any sport, any college sport. Culture doesn't graduate. And I think that's what we're seeing with Florida State. I would, after just watching their first two games, I would probably say they're the best team in the ACC, but I don't feel super confident. I don't think they've blown me away as much as I would have liked. Now, they've only played two games and they've won those games. That's what matters. I still think what's scary about Florida State is they have room to grow and they're going to only get better.
And when your best player is a true freshman, that's when you can be really excited because you have role players around you, you have older guys around you that can help lift him up and develop him, and such a special player with Scotty Barnes and what he can do. But I think, Kelly, that the ACC this year, it's more up for grabs than I think it ever has been. And the very top, you know, there's a couple of teams hanging around there and some teams that can rise really quickly. So, you know, God willing, we get through this entire season.
Cross your
Hopefully
fingers.
We have a really fun ACC tournament and then, of course, NCAA tournament. But, you know, I think there's going to be some teams coming out of the ACC that you're not used to seeing at the top there.
And we're going to talk basketball throughout the rest of the year on this podcast. So we're super excited about it. Obviously, Mac and I love Hoop.
That was just a little taste to get you guys excited.
Just a little teaser. We haven't forgotten about Virginia either. I will say Virginia and Michigan State, their game was canceled because of COVID. Virginia has had some scares. They even had a loss to San Francisco. They haven't shot the ball as well, but Hauser is a player. So I don't think we can count out UVA either.
100%. I agree with you. It's going to be a lot of fun. But Kelly, we still have football to talk about. and we have some really interesting stuff with the college football rankings coming out Tuesday. We always tell you guys we'll talk about it here on Friday. Notre Dame, Clemson, you know, staying strong at 2-3 there. Guys, I'm going to be honest. I think that that is going to be what the playoff looks like. I think both of those teams are going to get in. The way the committee has just really held them strong there, no matter what happens, on top of the Big Ten changing rules and getting Ohio State into their championship game. I think both of those teams are in regardless what happens on the 19th. Miami still staying at 10. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm getting AP poll vibes from them being at 10.
Mac, why? Give me one reason, because I've been outspoken about this on Twitter and I'm mad. Why is Miami behind Georgia? Can you give me one good reason?
I don't know if it's historically the
but that shouldn't count.
I agree. No, I'm not. I totally agree with you. I don't know if that's what they're looking at. If there's just, again, that stigma of the ACC and SEC and having two good SEC losses where you get blown out by 40 points is better than a loss to the number one team in the country. I'm not sure. I don't agree with it. I think Miami needs to be sitting at number 8 in the country. I think they need to be ahead of both of those teams. Iowa State, who lost to the Sun Belt. Like, come on. And I know the Sun Belt's good, but obviously the committee doesn't think good enough because you see where they have those two teams ranked, who the team that beat them in Louisiana and the team that beat Louisiana in Coastal Carolina is at 13. So I don't understand it. I don't agree with it. But Miami is where they are and potentially will have a spot in the Orange Bowl or an at-large bid being a top 10 team in the country. They are going against this weekend, which we'll talk about a little bit in a second here, number 17 UNC. I love that UNC was there. It was odd them moving up in a loss, but I think 17 is where they are. You know, they go out and dominate a normal opponent. You expect to see that. And I think 17 is a good number. The shocker here was NC State creeping in the poll, number 23. I love it. I think they deserve it. Most resilient team. The interesting thing about it, though, is you see a team like NC State who gives up as many points as they score. So you talk about that game control win. That's why Miami is at 10. So the fact that they ranked NC State, I just think some of their logic is interesting. Do I think they deserve it? Sure, because they find ways to win. But it is interesting to see how it seems like different teams are judged on different things. But hey, 5 teams in the ACC ranked, tied for most in the country. I'm digging it. I like it.
I'm with you on that, Mac, 100%. And this goes back to the Miami discussion. So you're going to rank NC State, but you still can't put Miami over Georgia. Because
exactly.
Georgia's best win is Auburn, and Auburn's not ranked. Auburn right. is not a quality win, newsflash.
No, it's not.
Auburn is not.
It's not.
So the fact that I saw, when I was seeing the reveal and I saw NC State was ranked, I thought, oh, for sure Miami's going to be above Georgia. Just didn't make any sense. But to your point, Mac, if Miami beats North Carolina this weekend, they can control that. They'll move up. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and I think that's the case. You know, get past this test, you'll move up. I've got to think that that's what it is. But again, being in the top 10, you'll be just fine and you'll take care of business.
All right, Mac, it is time for our Big 3 breakdown. And we're going to talk, we got 3 games to break down and plus 1 game in the speed round, just a few less games this week because it is kind of that weird week before the ACC championship game. And our Big 3 breakdown is brought to you by Sunshine Beverages.
Guys, I want to tell you quickly about our friends at Sunshine Beverages. Feel good energy. It's the perfect pick-me-up. It sparkles with vitamins, electrolytes, and only 70 milligrams of natural caffeine that is sourced from organic green coffee beans. Guys, it's delicious. The flavors like blueberry lemonade, clementine twist, gingerberry. Sunshine offers a balanced boost with great taste and better-for-you ingredients. You guys can find Sunshine at your local Publix, or we're going to help you out here. Go to drinkthesunshine.com, use our code ACC10 at checkout. You'll get 10% off your order. That's drinkthesunshine.com. Sunshine, it's feel-good energy, Kelly.
You're darn right, Mac. I'm having one today.
Having one right now as we talk
you
about
are?
It.
I love
you
it.
You know, we believe in the product. That's why we wanted to do that. This partnership, it's funny. We didn't want to be like NASCAR, go out and just get a bunch of stuff just because we found something that we liked that we already were drinking, and it just so happened they wanted to spend a little money with us. So it's a win-win for everybody.
And they're great people too, which makes even better. And a regional company located right there in Winston-Salem. We love supporting people in the Carolinas. There's no doubt. All right, let's get to our big three. Let's start with the game that we have been alluding to with our college football playoff ranking discussion. Number 17, North Carolina travels to South Beach. Number 10, Miami. This is a 3:30 game on ABC. It's one of the biggest games, if not the game of the weekend. Miami is a 3.5-point favorite. And Mac, you talk about how this game it's huge for so many reasons, but the winner of this game could potentially get a spot in the Orange Bowl. Do you think both programs are ready to handle that kind of pressure in this one?
You know, it's going to be interesting because when you look historically, right, you look at Miami and what they've been doing, that's what I alluded to with the college football playoff committee and the fact that they get in these big games and they lose them, or they lose games they're not supposed to. This is a different team. And with De'Aaron King, it's a much different team. With Jalen Phillips, with Quincy Roche, I mean, these guys have come in, transferred in, and made an instant impact where it's that culture. You talk about culture doesn't graduate. Well, sometimes when you bring people in who maybe haven't been a part of that stigma, who haven't been a part of, you know, all those different things, it's different for them. They expect to win. They expect to dominate. You look at De'Aaron King, he has just been such a dominant player his entire career. The fact that he has come to Miami and gotten better, I think speaks volumes not only of Miami's development and future development of guys, but Rhett Lashley, his offense, you believe in that? Miami, let me give you a little secret. You need to pay that man because he is going to be on top of everybody's head coaching search list, other big schools, offensive coordinators. I know Miami's a great job, but money talks, unfortunately, and money helps people walk. So it's going to be interesting to see his decision there. Miami, you've got to throw the checkbook at him. That might mean Manny Diaz taking a little bit of a pay cut. Whatever you have to do to keep Coach Rhett Lashley, you've got to do it. But as you mentioned it, Kelly, I've been looking forward to this game all year long. I think it could be very high scoring. I think we could see some back and forth, two very explosive running backs. And you look at Miami, I mean, they have all the momentum in the world going into this game, the way that they're playing. And this season, I mentioned some, it's a little bit different. Recently, it's been different. But this season, when the lights are on, when the lights are shining, Miami comes to play football. And I expect we may see their best performance of the year, just complete performance. There's a ton on the line. They're going to want to make a statement to the committee who I could use it as disrespect if I was Coach Diaz and saying,
sure,
they're just putting you guys at 10. They don't believe in you. This is a one-loss team, and we lost to the number one team in the country at that time. You know, I would be using all kinds of that stuff. So defensively, if you're Miami, you have got to get to Sam Howell. You've got to make him uncomfortable. Don't just let him sit in the pocket, build snowballs, because he's going to pick you apart. See what Notre Dame was able to do. Take away the RPO, limit the run, and you can win this game comfortably. So it'll be interesting to see. It's one thing for me to sit here and talk about that. It's another to go out and do that, because UNC, their offense is going to be firing, and they have to if they want to win the game, right? So I believe that their, you know, just balanced attack is going to be enough to keep Miami from just teeing off and coming after Sam Howell because of those two great running backs, two of the best in the country. PFF just put out you know, the most effective running teams in the country. UNC was number one. So you see who they have and what they're able to do. The biggest thing is you have to protect Sam Howell, and you cannot give up extra opportunities. You can't give the ball away to Miami, because that's where they can really hurt you and take advantage of it. For the defense for UNC, you've got to contain De'Aaron King. Don't let him get out in space. Don't let him just run around and do whatever he wants, because that's when he can really make the big plays. It's going to be interesting to see if they can do that.
We talk about the pressure aspect, and you're right. I think protecting Sam Howell, really each team protecting their QB, is going to be super important. These are two dynamic quarterbacks. I can't wait for this battle. I think with Miami, you know, they only have one loss. I know they're trying to make an Orange Bowl, and that would be huge for their program. But if you flip it to North Carolina, look, North Carolina hasn't won a big game all year.
Yep.
Like, who's their best win? Is it BC, perhaps?
Maybe. And again, you're looking
Wake,
at that. So
NC State, probably NC State.
Probably NC State and Wake. And again, we haven't seen Wake play in so long, but I think that that's it. You would have said VT at the time, but
right.
I mean, they've lost five of the last six. So that's just, you know, never a good thing. But if you look at UNC and you look at the fact that if you lose this game and you're now 7-4, I mean, what does that feel like? How do you feel as a program? Yeah, it's got to be disappointment. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes out firing, who comes out motivated. And to be honest, I think that Miami just, you asked me this last week, I think Miami feels better coming into this game. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, which one translates better. It's in South Beach. It's going to be great weather. It's not going to be freezing cold. So I think it's kind of setting the stage to be a really, really awesome game.
Miami's favored by 3.5 points. So North Carolina is the underdog on a fill-in-the-blank Friday, Mac. North Carolina can beat Miami if.
I think they can beat Miami if they protect Sam Howell. I think that's going to be the big thing there. I think you cannot let him get hit. You can't let him, you know, have to run around and make some crazy things happen. Now, he can be very explosive, and obviously he's good with his feet this year, but let him do his thing. Let him be in rhythm. That offensive line, you just have to give him a little bit of time, because I think if Miami's getting him off his spot, if they're keeping his eyes down, looking at them instead of looking downfield, they can find some success. So that'll be the biggest thing, is protecting Sam.
I'll add this for North Carolina. No special team blunders.
Just, and Miami has proven they can do it. They had a touchdown against Clemson, a blocked field goal. So those guys have shown that they are not afraid to stand up on special teams. Got a lot of their best players are on special teams. So that's a big thing. And we all know North Carolina, everybody closes their eyes when special teams run out there.
No doubt. Let's get to the Commonwealth Cup. We had Charles Snowden on, who was awesome. He's one of my favorite interviews we've done. If you missed that one, go listen to it. It was Wednesday's podcast. You can find it right on our page and just all over the place. Virginia at Virginia Tech, rivalry game, 8:00 on ACC Network. Mac, I do not understand. Virginia Tech is favored. Let me give you these numbers real fast. On the season, Virginia Tech is 3-7 versus the spread, and Virginia is 7-2 against the spread.
We say Vegas knows.
Vegas,
what
are you doing?
When it comes to Virginia Tech, Vegas don't know nothing about these guys. They've been dead wrong like the last 6 weeks in a row now. And you look at it, and again, you ask the question, why are they favored? I have no clue, because Virginia is red hot. That offense is playing very, very well, averaging over 43 points a game with Brennan Armstrong back there. They are a different team. He can do a lot of the things that Bryce Perkins was able to do. It's been so impressive to see that. And just how unique this offense is. I mean, they truly, Virginia, are using guys in the best, you know, possible way. It just as football players, not as a quarterback, not as a running back, not as a wide receiver, just as football players. You look at guys like Billy Kemp, teeny tiny little Billy Kemp. He's normally a receiver. They put him in the backfield. They line him up all over the place, and he's able to make really impactful plays. I just told you about Brennan, what he's able to do with his legs, what he's able to do with his arm. Obviously a very, very good quarterback. And then a guy like Keaton Thompson, who came in as a transfer quarterback, probably expected to win the job. A guy that, you know, really coming from Mississippi State, came in expecting to win the job. He's just a football player for them. He is a guy that they're lining him up at receiver. They're lining him up at quarterback, at H-back, at running back, at quarterback. And he's just doing it all. And it's similar to what they did with Taysom Hill at BYU, and using him as a football player, and what
I
you're
like
seeing him do with the Saints. Yeah, and it's the same coaching staff, so that's
right.
That's what they do. So I've been very impressed with that. And also with Keaton, just the fact that he is willing to do that, because a lot of guys at the quarterback position, they want to be quarterback. They want to throw the ball. They want to drop back, whatever. They're not willing to do what's ever best for the team if it means not being quarterback. So I've been really impressed with him, his buy-in, and just the way they're using him and learning each and every week. When I did that UVA Louisville game a couple of weeks ago, they said, we're still figuring out what he can do. You know, he is such a good football player. We're just trying to use him in every way, shape, or form that we can. So I've been super impressed and just loving what I'm seeing from that Virginia offense. Defensively, you know, Charles told us Wednesday, look, it's strength on strength. We have a great run defense. They have a great run offense. If UVA can contain Herbert, this is kind of, I'm getting early to your question, if they can contain him in the run game, it'll be a smooth victory, and it might even be a convincing victory, right, if you can do that. So we don't know what the quarterback position is going to look like for Virginia Tech. Obviously, we saw Hendon Hooker. You know, I thought he was seriously hurt. I thought there was something wrong with him, but he was just cold. I mean, he couldn't even catch a snap. And then not sure what's going on with their backup, with the quarterback there, whether he got hurt with a knee injury or was it something to the head with Burmeister for Virginia Tech. So, you know, I have no clue what the quarterback position is going to look like and just really what happened with Virginia Tech. I mean, they initially come out, right, and face so much adversity and have 20-plus guys out of multiple games. And then somehow, as the season goes on, your team gets healthy, you have everybody, they get worse, and they start losing all these football games. And it just – it doesn't make sense. You know, the comments that we've heard throughout the coaching staff all year long, it's just been weird, and it rubs you just a really wrong way. So it's almost like Virginia Tech's like, hey, let's just get through this game. Let's get on to 21 and move on. But it's been a strange situation, no doubt, for Virginia Tech.
Two programs headed in different directions, it seems.
Absolutely.
Right now. And rivals, of course. We talked about culture with Florida State basketball. I think the culture at Virginia right now, football-wise, is just really good. And Snowden even hit on that with us back on Wednesday. Of course, the classic Bronco line, no one's going to save you, Charles. That was excellent.
That was awesome.
But that doesn't really reflect
and,
the culture.
You know, terrifying at the same
and
time.
And terrifying. But Virginia's culture just seems to be in a really good place right now. They have faced adversity. They've had injuries, and they've come out stronger. Virginia Tech, you're right. It's so puzzling that when they got healthy, they got worse. That's a great way to put it. I don't know how to make sense of that. I do think Tech is just saying, let's get on to 2021. But as Charles said, it's a rivalry game. So anything can happen.
These guys are going to be fired up. You heard how meaningful it was to Charles and the fact that it was the best day of his life, winning that game. Yeah. And if you don't think that these seniors from Virginia Tech want to get that trophy back, you know, you're crazy. So these teams are going to play hard. They're going to play inspired. And, it's going to come down and be a great game. I'm glad it's on ACC Network. It's prime time. It's going to be a fantastic game.
Check out Mac on the Huddle.
Hey, come on.
Halftime coverage, right?
Halftime, pregame, postgame, all day long. You turn on ACC Network, we'll be there.
I've been enjoying your Christmas decor in your background. Hey, I saw you added the
stocking. A little bit to it. Yeah, well, I've got a little bit more. I'll give you a little preview. Some fun stuff behind me there. It's going to be cool. You know, I try to keep people on their toes with the Christmas decor.
Mac is Buddy the Elf, just in disguise, as an offensive
I may or
lineup.
May not, you know, have a costume that I'm just kidding. I'm not
oh
doing
my
that.
Gosh.
I'm not doing
that. Okay. Fill in the blank Friday. Virginia is the underdog, Mac. Virginia can win the game if.
Yeah, it all comes down to that Virginia defense. And if you can be who you are, stand up tall against the run, use those great athletes, those great linebackers. I was talking with Charles about just how fun is it to be a part of that group. I mean, they have some dudes at linebacker. Zane Zandier, Noah Taylor, it starts there. And then everybody else just kind of fills in the blank. And, you know, they'll be able to do a really good job. Nick Jackson, you know, a younger guy that's really stepped up. If they can contain the run, if they can contain Herbert, you know, I truly think they can win pretty convincingly.
So I believe these next two teams will probably not be making bowl games this year. So we'll call this their bowl game, bowl.
They have placed a ban on themselves, Kelly. I don't know if you heard that. Because
they
have one
LSU
win or two wins. They put a ban on themselves and did what LSU did admirably.
Oh,
and said, you
man.
Know what, guys?
So
we're
going to
put this on ourselves. We're not going to play in a bowl game.
Just unbelievable leadership.
What a joke. Come on.
Duke at Florida State. 4 o'clock game on ACC Network. Florida State is a 5-point favorite.
Woo!
Mainly because Duke is terrible, and Duke has never beaten FSU in football. That would be, there's been some low moments for Florida State, and we want Florida State fans to listen. We're going to talk about your basketball teams. They're both great. We promise.
That's right. Come back in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll really enjoy it.
There have been some low moments for FSU, but losing to Duke, Mac, would that be, like, could that be lower than almost anything else?
You know, probably. And again, people might be questioning us right now. Why, Matt, Kelly, why is this on your big three? This is not a big game. Guys, people, this is a trophy game.
Yes.
This is for dead last place in the ACC. So this is on here. This game matters. And again, you just mentioned Duke. heading to Tallahassee, one of the most forgetful seasons they've probably had in the Cutcliffe era, but it can all be forgotten and all be saved getting your first ever dub against Florida State. Now, it's going to be hard to do it. And of course, Duke just, I mentioned it last week, and I probably mentioned it every week. They give you the ball. You can guarantee there's going to be a couple of turnovers in this game, but can you limit it to just a couple? I said this for Georgia Tech a couple of weeks ago. When I said that, they had zero. So Duke, please, can we go one game without turning the ball over?
That'd be the biggest story of the year.
It would be, because you're dead last in the entire country, 35 turnovers. You have an 11-point lead over everybody else. You're going to finish the season with the most in the country, but let's keep it at 35. And if you can do that, you'll win the game. And so that's my key for Duke. And then off defensively, when you're looking at Duke, they have two really, really good edge defenders in Victor Dimukeji and Chris Rump the second there. They had zero sacks against Miami last week. A couple of pressures, but not as many as I thought. You have to get after the quarterback. It's what you do. It's what you're going to get paid a ton of money to in a couple of months to do that. You've got to get after FSU's quarterback, whoever it's going to be. You know, I assume Jordan Travis, but have no clue if he's healthy or if he's even still on the team, you know, if they're going to go after him. So that's got to be a big key for Duke. Florida State, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who's left. I just mentioned that. So many opt-outs, so many people are injured and done for the season. It could be silver lining. It could be a good chance for us to see who Florida State's going to be. But I have a little indication, a little, you know, just thinking that it's not going to be pretty and it's not going to be a team that you want to see running out there. But, hey, that's why we play the game. That's why we recruit. That's why we go to the transfer portal to get these players and to really figure it out.
Speaking of playing the game, let's play this one, you know, let's play this one. I'll leave it at that. Okay. Duke is an underdog. Duke can win the game. I think you kind of alluded to it with your turnovers, but Duke can win the game if
they can win the game, if they protect the ball. Again, we mentioned it, most turnovers in the country, most fumbles in the country, most interceptions. It's not just one or the other. It's both. It's a big problem. And if you can solve it, if you can protect the ball, just run the ball, just run it every time. You have two great running backs. Just hand it off and let's run the ball 50 times in the game, and you can win. I mean, this Florida State defense, although they're going to have a couple of guys drafted really high, maybe three guys, maybe even a couple of first-rounders. I think their play this year actually has kind of hurt them in regards to the draft, but they're going to have some dudes. And at the end, when that happens, we're going to be on this podcast and say, why the heck was this defense as bad as it is? But, you know, I think that Duke can really run the ball, but if you want to win, you can't turn it over.
That was our Sunshine Beverages Big Three breakdown. Enjoy a can of sunshine and have all the natural feel-good energy you need. Remember, they're available at Publix and online at drinkthesunshine.com. Use our promo code ACC and the number 10 for 10% off. I'm about to go grab one right now, literally right now. All right, Mac, one more game left. Speed rounds. We'll run through it pretty quickly. Wake Forest at Louisville. This is a noon game on ACC Network. Louisville, a 1.5-point favorite. We haven't seen Wake in a while. When we have seen them, they've played pretty well. Louisville and their coach have been in some hot water this week. What do you make of this one?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what Louisville looks like when they've come out. Because, again, you've got stars who are leaving the team. I'm not even calling. It's not opting out anymore. You're leaving.
You should just. You're quitting. I mean, that's what it is.
It is. Honestly. It is. You don't think it's a good situation for you. You're out. And that's what's happening at Louisville, which I don't blame you at all, especially when, you know, your head coach has promised everybody that he is Louisville forever. And this is his team. He loves you guys. And then he goes behind everybody's back and interviews or has a conversation. It wasn't an interview. Let me tell you something. Anytime you talk to anybody, it's an interview. Every time I meet somebody, I treat it as an interview. So I know that's the situation. And that's what's going on. And just made some terrible comments in the media after the fact, which I thought was really weird. And even more weird, players are coming out and defending them, saying this isn't you. The media is tricking you guys.
I thought the athletic director's statement was maybe the weirdest part when he said, we know Louisville fans have trust issues with coaches. Yeah,
which they do.
And they do.
Rightfully so. But again, the media is not twisting this. The media is copying, pasting what he is saying and going straight to Twitter, straight to social media. So there's no twisting going on. I don't understand that. But hey, I'm glad the players feel like he's their guy. I hope he is. You know, you think about a year ago, Kelly, where Louisville was. We were so excited about the situation. We were happy about the coaching staff. They said, you know, there was so much, you know, toxic culture when we got here and we scrubbed the facility. Well, now it kind of feels like it's right back. And, you know, I don't know how we feel about Louisville. So however they come out and play, that'll be interesting to see. It's kind of that culture versus culture right here with Wake Forest, a team that was getting really hot, a team that they believe fully in their coaching staff and understand, you know, they're going to be there and they want to be there. I think that's even the biggest thing is they want to be at Wake Forest. So what does the game look like? And really, I think it comes down to Wake. I think it has a lot less to do with Louisville. I think if Wake comes out and they don't look rusty, they look like the same team that, you know, went before they had to pause all activities, then we're going to see a boat race right here in Louisville, or Wake's going to score a ton of points. Those wide receivers got Roland Green, Roberson, Morin. They looked really good against UNC and took it to another level. So I don't know if it's going to be the same point total, but I do expect to see very similar plays and those guys really go off.
This win would help Louisville fans maybe have a little more confidence in Satterfield going into next year. But for Wake Forest, look, they have two games left. These are two very winnable games, Louisville and then Florida State. With two wins, they finished 6-3 overall. That's something you build on for next year.
Yeah, and again, confidence going into next year, possible bowl game. Again, there's no minimum, so everybody can play. So you would think a 6-win ACC team would certainly get an invite. You get to take one more step and have a really good season. So, you know, I think for Wake Forest, there's a lot of good things to build. You got to be really excited about your team. Guys, thanks for listening. It was such a fun week. It's going to be a really fun weekend. We can't wait to break it all down Monday. If you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop a little rating, a little review. We'd love to hear from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.